All right, hey, it's Larry here from Xbox Live's Major Nelson, show number 238. This is for August 5th, 2007. My name's Larry Herb. I work for Microsoft. In case you don't know, I work on the Xbox team. And with me, joining me on this show, is E,
who is Hello, everybody.
Who is the director of operations. He also works at Microsoft.
That's right, I do.
You do. We both work here. And
that's why our badges let us in the building. They let us park here.
For now.
Yeah,
for
take now. The sodas out of the cafeteria.
The free ones.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
Diet Coke.
Yeah. That's kind of like the unofficial beverage around here, isn't it? I'm surprised there's any. Actually, the only reason there's Diet Coke left is because Trixie's out of the country.
That's a good point.
You know, she's left us some.
Although, I'm not. I mean, it's Diet Coke for the non-developers. Developers are pretty hardcore into Mountain Dew.
As Lithion, who works on my site, he's always sucking down the dews.
Exactly.
So it's liquid to code by. It's fuel to code by. So we've got a pretty good show today, as you probably figured out from the metadata. Can talk about Comic-Con. We're going to talk about a couple things. We'll talk all about Comic-Con Halo 3 co-op.
Dun, 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 dun.
We'll address that later on. My travel schedule, which is pretty outrageous. The HD DVD player price drop. Also going to tell you how you can win a copy. We're not going to give away one, but two copies of 300.
Nice.
Which is available this past week on HD DVD, and it's a combo disc. It's on DVD. So even if you don't have an HD DVD player, you can still enjoy the movie.
You know, I almost said something snarky when you said it's going to be a really good show, but okay, you've convinced me.
Right.
It's a pretty good show.
It is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And then as if that's not enough.
But wait, there's more. Where's that from, anyways?
I don't know. But wait, there's more. So we've got Jeff, who's one of the brains behind Red vs. Blue. You know Jeff?
I do know Jeff, and I think that's from the Ginsu Knife commercial.
But wait, there's more. Ginsu Knife, look that up. I'll have to link to that on Wikipedia. That's going to require a link. Jeff, whose gamertag is DG Jeff, is going to join us. I caught up with him down at Comic-Con. And then also, I was able to get an audience. And you have to say you get an audience when you interview Sir Ridley Scott.
Ooh.
Ridley Scott.
That's cool.
Who, how would you describe Ridley Scott? I mean, he is
the genius behind Blade Runner and Alien.
I mean, have you looked at his list? I mean, it is. First of all, he's been working on movies since 1965.
Okay. Before I was born, I'd like to point out. So that's pretty good.
So, I mean, and he's worked on probably some of the best films ever. Blade Runner. He did Thelma and Louise.
He did?
Yeah. He was a producer. Okay. He was a producer. I'm sorry. What else we got here? G.I. Jane.
Just all you have to say is Blade Runner,
right.
Alien.
Gladiator?
Okay. But I don't think that comes up to the level of Blade Runner in the first two Alien movies.
Black Hawk Down?
Okay, you got me there. Pretty good.
So we got some. So anyway, so he'll be joining us. Let's see. Where's his Aliens?
Game over, man. Game over.
Yeah, here it is. So that's James Cameron. He's Alien, the first one. Ridley's the first one.
He only
one.
Did the first one?
Yep.
I thought he did the first
one. Alien, he did, he did Alien, and James Cameron did the second one.
Okay, then I take that back.
Aliens is one of the few movies where the sequel was as good, maybe a little bit better than the original.
A little bit better.
Yeah. So,
completely random side note, because we do that during these. At the Science Fiction Museum in downtown Seattle, they have a whole bunch of stuff from the movies,
right.
Including like a full-size alien.
It's, oh, really?
It looks...
What do they call it? Xenomorph.
Picture a dinosaur skeleton
right.
in a museum. It's like that.
Right.
And it's awesome.
So is this like the mother one from Aliens where she's like, remember, she's hatching the eggs?
It's not the mother one with the eggs. It's the one that was fighting in the ship bay that got swept out into space.
Right, right.
It's
so at the end
one.
Of the... So, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Ridley is going to join me for a few minutes later on because he wants to be on the show.
That's
and when Ridley
cool.
and when Ridley Scott calls you, so we're going to talk about Blade Runner. So let's go back to top of the show and start talking about all the great stuff that happened this week. I was down at Comic-Con last weekend, and did you download any of the Bring It At Home stuff?
I watched some of them. Yeah, I'm jealous. I wanted to go to that.
So first of all, we have to apologize for all the folks that are outside the United States that couldn't get the content.
Right.
As you know, as frequent listeners and readers of my blog know, unfortunately, we don't own the content, meaning the interviews we were doing and some of the trailers and whatnot we're showing, it was up to some of the partners. So we can only show it where they have legal clearance to show it.
Yes. And I don't know anything about this particular situation, but we can ask, you know, hey, can we make this available
in another country? Yep.
But we don't have the ability to just do it.
Yeah, so. That's bad. That gets you in trouble. So we had a bunch of stuff up there. I did some great interviews. There's actually the daily recaps. You watched some of them, right?
Right.
There's some footage that I'm trying to get my hands on that was never included that's actually pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
So it was, in fact, so I know some folks that listen to this show were watching me film this outside. I don't want to say too much more about it, but it was actually pretty fun.
Good cutting room floor stuff.
Yeah, I guess somebody didn't want it, so I told them give it to me and I'll put it up on the blog. I don't know if you guys want to see that, but that will be your chance to see some of the cool content that we have. But Comic-Con was great. It was, I was there Friday and Saturday. I had never been. And it wasn't so much a Comic-Con as much as it was a pop-con. It was really all about pop culture.
Right, because all the TV show stuff and some movie things going on.
There was and then Friday night there was the 300 screening.
Right.
At Petco Field.
Now, were they doing that on the Jumbotron?
Yes.
Or they were. Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was Jumbotron. It was a beautiful evening. It's San Diego in the evening. It was beautiful. And it was, speaking of that, Ace never came down.
He's in L.A.
I thought Ace was in San Diego.
L.A.
Okay, that's all right. Off the hook, Ace.
They're different.
I thought we knew somebody. Don't we know somebody in San Diego?
My grandmother.
I have to tell you a funny story, not about your grandmother.
I don't think she's really into Comic-Con.
So. Okay. So, the 300, they were showing it outside. It was a beautiful evening. I was on the red carpet interviewing a bunch of the stars, and it was really spectacular, including there's some weird people at this screening.
Weird as in strange or weird as in you were surprised to see them there?
A little both.
Okay.
But the screening was great. They had I know that Jeff Keighley was two spots down from me. It was me, this dude from MTV who kept basically jabbing me in the back with his elbows. He was like 6'4". I'm like, dude, I'm trying to do stuff here. So we're all, you know, so let me back up a little bit. When you're on the red carpet, the way it works is, you've never done a red carpet.
No, not my gig.
So they got the whole red carpet there and it went in and wound around and there's little pieces of paper that say, you know, Xbox Live, MTV, Jeff Keighley, G4, Gamehead, Spike.
These are, since people can't see the hand motions you're saying, these are on the carpet.
Right, they're like on pieces of paper. They're basically taped down. So you show up, you find where you are and you stand there. Now I've got me. I've got a sound guy. I've got a camera guy. And we're all supposed to basically be jammed into pretty much a space the size of the chair.
Oh, awesome.
So not a lot of space. And I'm on the other side of I'm actually on the red carpet because I'm talking to the stars and the talent as they come down. And this guy from MTV is just being an ass.
Okay.
And that's the only way I can put it. So I tried to, we had some fun there, you know, at least getting some footage and I talked to the composer of 300, who I don't remember his name. I'm actually looking at the back of the 300 disc right now. But the composer, he was really interesting, and I don't know if this made it up on Xbox Live Marketplace, but he was talking about doing he's working on a video game. I think it's Argonauts.
Oh, okay.
He's working on the music for that. So we talked a little bit about that. And it was just really great because a lot of these, you know, getting back to Comic-Con, it's all gamers. A lot of gamers.
Yeah.
A lot of people were coming up to me as I was walking through the crowd and telling me about the games they're waiting on. You know, we always talk about the games BioShock and all the rest of the games. And then I saw Scott from PvP.
Oh, Scott Kurtz.
Yep, Scott Kurtz, who was great. Chatted with him. He gave me a Han Shot First t-shirt.
You need to bring that in so I can see.
I didn't tell you this.
Where did he get one?
He makes them.
Oh, that. I didn't realize there's two of them.
There's two of them. There's the black one with the white Han Shot First, which is in the Star Wars kind of lettering. And then there's the one that we talked about in the last show with the picture on it.
Right.
I never found the one with the picture on it.
Oh, okay.
So I chatted with him for a while, saw the guys from Penny Arcade, and it was, it was all in all. But it's interesting because it was, you know, a huge conference, convention center. And when you get down to one end, like where these guys were, the comic books, it was pretty weird.
Well, in the San Diego Convention Center, if you've never been there, is ginormous.
Yeah, it was a schlep from one end to the other.
Yeah, I've been at events there before with like 7,000-8,000 people, and no problem at all.
Operations directors types events?
No, no, just throw a bunch of random techies in the building and talk to them.
Well, that's kind of what this was.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
But as I was walking around there, you know, when you get to the comic books, the pure comic book section, because at the other end was, you know, Warner Brothers. Brothers and all, you know, the big studios that were pimping out their shows and whatnot.
Right.
But when you get to the pure comic book section, it was just fascinating. Just the stuff they had, you know, the Albert, who I've had on this show before, you know, Albert.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him on the show in the future, but Albert had bought not one, but two, still in the package sealed, because that's always the best way.
Right.
Grimace action figures.
Wow.
And I've taken pictures of his office before. His office is all, it's an action figure museum.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he, so he was really excited. I'm like, why did you buy two? Well, in case one gets damaged. Of course, that's of course the answer.
In case I want to open one and play with it.
Right, so he, yeah. So we ended up going to In-N-Out Burger as well, which is a whole other size, you know. But, you know, I would have taken you this week. Do you know why?
Although I found a new burger joint, but keep going.
Do you know why I would have taken you to In-N-Out Burger this week? Because a little bird told me. And okay. I want you to open up your browsers right now, folks, and I'll put a link to it. It was E's birthday.
Oh, God.
Happy birthday to E.
That's enough. Thank
is,
you.
Was it your birthday?
It was my birthday. Yeah.
So what did you do for your birthday? And then we're going to get back to Comic-Con.
Went out to lunch, went out to dinner, had some drinks, you know, hung out with some friends.
Did birthday stuff.
Yeah.
Did you have cake? Did you have kids over?
Did
you
not
know,
have
a cake and ice cream? And
no cake, no
did
ice
you get
cream.
A, did you get
I
at least,
beer.
Did you at least get a present?
I got a nice present. A friend of mine from Bungie came over to grab me so we could all go to lunch. And he walks in, and he's got my girlfriend, and she's got some flowers and a card. And so that was my surprise.
Is that the lunch that I wasn't invited to, that lunch?
I don't have any recollection of that.
Yeah, I do. I do. Because y'all just disappeared
one day.
It's
quite possibly. But
yeah.
I wasn't organizing it, so that's your problem.
Anyway, so happy birthday to E. You need to probably buy yourself. When we get to the gadget section, we need to talk about stuff you're going to buy.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I don't expect gifts. It's like, it's my birthday. I should go get myself something.
Right. So happy birthday to you, E. So Comic-Con was all in all fun. I look forward to going back next year. It was a big show.
Next year, I'm going to try and go.
Are you going to come down?
I'm going to try.
Yeah, we're going to do more Bring It At Home stuff, and we're going to work on getting rights to do it elsewhere, you know, so everyone in the world can see it, because it's a big deal. Comic-Con.
It actually made me do something I haven't done in a few years. This past weekend, I went out into the garage, I grabbed my big box of comic books, brought it into the house, started riffing through it, read some of them again.
What comic books did you read?
I was big on X-Men. During what I thought was the, I mean, looking back on it, to me, that's the best time.
Mm-hmm.
Like episode, or issue, I guess, 130 through 190 or so, there were some great, great parts in there, great storylines. Legion of Superheroes, there's a whole bunch. I mean, I kind of was into it during, like, the 80s, basically.
Right.
Was my comic book time.
Okay.
And they're all kind of, you know, they're mostly packaged up nicely, some of them not so much, and they're just sitting there in the garage hopefully earning money.
I must tell you this story. So I'm going through the comic book section. I have the camera crew with me, and we come across this booth, which is the Society for Cartoonists of America, or Professional Cartoonists or something.
So it's the SCA, but not the SCA.
Yeah, it was a weird International Society of Cartoonists or something. So I'm like, this is really strange. Let's talk to these people. So sitting there is Jeff Keane. Doesn't mean anything.
Oh, yeah.
He does Family Circus.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, outside the country, you do a web search. But in the United States, every Sunday is the funnies. When you're a kid growing up, you want to read the funnies.
No, the comics.
The comics, the funnies, whatever you want to call
it. It's only the funnies in Connecticut.
Okay, perhaps. So you want to read the comics from the Hartford Courant. And usually it's actually in most newspapers every day. But, you know, Sunday is when they were colored.
Right.
So there was a special section. So Jeff Keane is there, and he's drawing Family Circus stuff.
Wow.
And it was just kind of strange. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Jeff, his dad, Bill, started.
And that was decades ago.
Decades ago. In fact, in the Family Circus, he is the Jeff, the Jeffy. It's him. He's drawing himself as a kid.
Oh,
how crazy is that?
Wow. Okay.
So he was actually drawing himself. So we had a nice interview. I don't think that made it up there. But it was just really fascinating to talk to him, because this guy is, you know, you don't think of the Sunday, or not even the Sunday, but just the newspaper cartoons as cartoons, but in fact they are.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
wow.
Comics.
I mean, yeah, I remember reading that when I was,
right,
you know, just a little kid. It's been around for forever.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, I didn't tell you that story.
You got to interview some cool people.
Yeah, I did. So we're going to actually, we want to get to that in just a second. I want to talk to you about this thing. Did I show you this? These guys sent
me. Yeah, you did.
So here, let me give it to you. So this is, let me see if I have his card here. I don't think I have his card here. The guys from Control Freak sent me their Speed Freak. And the Speed Freak, for those that don't know, is, and I'll put a link up to this, to controlfreak.com with a K, because it's always better with a K.
With a K and with a F-R-E-E-K.
E-K, right. It's this device.
It's always better with more E.
It's this device that basically, it snaps onto the left thumbstick of your Xbox 360 controller, so you just kind of pop it on there. And it's good for driving games. Provides a little bit more precision.
It looks like
a little hat or something. It's a little. You go see the photos up on.
Just sitting here with the controller and playing with it, it's like okay. But I need to actually try it because I have a feeling it's going to work a lot better than I think it will.
So they say that I was over there. Donnie Walker, that's who sent it over to me. Donnie, who owns the company. He sent these over to me, and I've been trying it out a little bit, and it does work for some driving games. It actually works quite well.
Dirt, Forza. What were you playing?
I was doing was Dirt. I tried it on Forza. I guess driving a Warthog doesn't really count.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
Warthogs, Scepters, you name it.
So if you give these things a try. I think they're only a couple bucks, but if you're into driving games, this may help out. Okay. But if you're really into driving games, most likely you have the wireless controller.
Okay, give me one of those. I'll try it this weekend.
Okay, take that
because
one.
Because I do not have a wireless controller,
take this one.
Unlike you.
Take this one. All right, there you go. All right, take that back. All right, we're gonna roll a couple interviews right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about Halo 3 co-op, my travel schedule, and the HD DVD offer. So first of all, let's get right to Jeff, and then we'll come back from Jeff, who works on Red versus Blue, and then we're going to talk about Halo 3. So here's the interview with Jeff. I know you're a fan of RVB.
Oh, big time.
As the cool kids say.
Yes.
RVB. So the funny thing is we did this interview at Comic-Con. I just grabbed him and we went over to like some corner. So you'll hear people pushing garbage about. we're like at the exit of this convention center. But Jeff was great to join me. Here he is. All right, I'm here at Comic-Con 2007 down in San Diego with Jeff Ramsey, and people may not know your name, Jeff.
They may not know my name. They might know me more as Private Dexter Griff from popular web series Red versus Blue.
A popular web series. Is that the way
it
is?
That's how we. That's how we say it.
That's the way I refer to myself. Xbox Live's Major Nelson. It's like popular web series. So Jeff, I want to talk about Red versus Blue. I mean, it's a phenomenon.
Okay. Well, thanks.
I mean, really, I was just over at your. I actually had to grab you away from the booth, and it was 10 deep.
And I can't thank you enough for that. Yeah.
what can people expect? First of all, back up. People are probably listening to this right now and say, probably not sure what Red versus Blue is. There's like two people out there.
Well,
so why don't you explain that first?
I will explain for the uninitiated. Red versus Blue is a cartoon, in essence, that we make in the this video game called Halo.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Some people have heard of it.
Yeah, it's gathering a following right now, I think. But we film in Halo and Halo 2 and using a process called Machinima, which is basically just taking the video game and puppeteering it to make a narrative story.
Right.
So it's a little bit puppeteering, a little bit animation, a little bit live-action filmmaking, and you just kind of throw it all together, edit it, lay sound over it, and you've got a dumb cartoon.
And a dumb cartoon that millions of people love.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, really, it's you guys are now into season 5, right?
We just wrapped season 5, our 100th episode, yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What is it like in the early days of when you were doing RVB, I think is what the cool kids call it, to now where you've got, really, the guys over at Bungie help you out and, you know, they work with you?
Yeah, it's amazing how much it's changed, and I think we started 4.5 years ago,
right.
And it was really just a group of, you know, 4 or 5 of us that were just all huge Halo fans.
Right.
And kind of, I guess you could say, failed filmmakers on the side as well. And just, we're just became obsessed with this game and how it looked so cinematic.
Right.
And we thought, I wonder if we cropped out the gun and we cropped out the HUD, you know, we get rid of the ammo and information. And it's like, whoa, this looks like a widescreen movie. And we thought, what if we added sound to it? And the next thing we know, we had Red versus Blue. We put it up for our friends. And then I think the first day, like 25,000 people came out of nowhere and downloaded
it. And this was like before YouTube and all that stuff.
Well before all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, oh, Jesus.
We got something.
How did that happen? Yeah, and we thought, okay, well, I guess we'll just keep doing this as long as people like it, and eventually Microsoft will see it and shut us down.
Right.
And we thought, well, we'll fly under the radar. I mean, who are we, you know?
Yeah.
And in episode two, I was watching our hits come in on a hit counter, and I saw a hit come from Microsoft, and I said,
Ruh-roh, party's over.
Yeah, I was like, well, call everybody, let them know it's about to end. And then and I saw another hit come, and then another hit, and then about 500 hits come through from Microsoft. And we were like, and then the phone rang.
Right.
Literally. And it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it was Microsoft, and they called and said, we need to talk to you. Why don't you call us Monday?
Right.
And we had a very scary weekend. I was getting tickets to Mexico, you know, ready to flee the country.
You're moving all your funds into the offshore accounts.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And we had this call with them on that Monday, and they were like, hey, this, we like what you're doing.
Right.
And we want to help you continue to do it and do it the right way.
Right.
And they've kind of embraced us. And then Bungie, who has the best community of any game company
clearly
on the planet,
yeah,
just embraced us and allowed us to continue to do it and have helped us and have given us contract work.
Yep.
And, you know, we've gone from, like, doing this stuff in our spare bedroom to, you know, we even did videos for Bill Gates' keynote once.
Right.
Which is, like,
that's pretty cool.
It blows
that's
the mind,
a hell of a
you know?
Thing to add to a resume.
It is, yeah, yeah. So.
You know, a lot of people are now trying to emulate what you've done. What's the secret? Tell me a little bit about the secret sauce.
Well, it doesn't hurt that we used a game that has a tremendous following.
Sure,
you know, and that you can.
So you set yourselves up for success.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but also I think that. The thing that when I look around, I see we have one guy that writes Red versus Blue, Bernie.
Right.
And he is, I think, a fantastic writer.
Right.
You know? And,
so it's the writing.
And I think a lot of it is the writing and also the ability. Because I've seen a lot of good stuff come out, a lot of kids that'll put stuff together with their buddies. But to be able to do something like Red versus Blue, which at least initially took us between 60 and 80 hours a week to make.
And
had lives. An episode, yeah.
Wow.
We all had lives. We had wives and families.
Right.
And to be able to do that consistently every week, it's a lot of patience. And to be able to find the time to do it and do it consistently, it really helped that we were able to put out an episode every week so people knew when they come to the website there's going to be a new episode every Friday.
Right.
You know, and it's impossible for people to forget about you that way. So a little bit of writing, a little bit consistency, I guess.
What's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode of Red vs. Blue would probably be, this may sound cliche, but I like the last one we just did, episode 100, which was the final episode of Red vs. Blue. It weighed in at about 17 minutes and had three separate endings, so every time you watch it, you get a different ending.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun. We put everything we had into it, so.
You started with the Halo 1 engine.
Yes.
And then you migrate. Where was the breakpoint to the Halo 2 engine?
We put out the first episode of Halo 2 the week Halo 2 came out.
So you guys were prepped for that.
Yeah, Bungie let us come out, and once again, being the awesome guys and girls that they are, they let us come out and play around with Halo 2 a couple times. In the months leading up to the launch, so we were fairly well versed in it, and then so when it came out, I think we put out an episode a day for the first week that Halo 2 was out.
Wow!
Yeah.
So Halo 3 is right around the corner.
Halo 3 is right around the corner.
So
yeah.
we're kind of in that area again.
Yeah, we've actually been lucky enough. The guys at Bungie had us come out to do some videos for their multiplayer beta.
Right.
And then we did some stuff for their upcoming Halo 3 Legendary Collection and Halo 3 as well. And then also an exclusive Zune video we did for the Halo Zune.
Right.
So we've made, I think, five or six videos in Halo 3 already, and I gotta say, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one you had, the free one you had for the multiplayer, the one that was basically you flipped from the Halo 2 engine to the Halo 3 engine.
Right.
That was just phenomenal.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I mean, it was just fun to see what was going on there, to see the way you guys were embracing the engine, some of the new maps that we were playing in the beta. It's too bad the beta's over.
It is too bad.
But we'll have the full version soon.
It, however, it's giving me a nice break. I can sleep again for a little while before September.
Right.
Visit my wife and kid, because the day that game comes out, it's going to be all over.
It's going to be all over for that. They're also, you know, one of the things that Bungie showed at E3 a couple weeks ago that I'm sure you're aware of is now you're going to be able to save your films and play them back. Do you think that even more people are going to try to emulate what you're doing and continue it?
I think you'll see some of that, sure. But as Frankie put it to me when I was up at Bungie last time, people are going to be so obsessed with just using that as a tool to say, I think he called it the bullshit, bull true factor.
Right.
Where you say, I stuck you with that grenade, and people go, bullshit, you did not. And you can go back and go, no, I did.
Right here. And
right
here's
there.
The exact moment.
Here's the exact moment. Let's watch it. Here's the moment where you died. Let's watch it slowly.
Yeah, here we go again.
Yeah. I think people will find it's just so cool to watch the games they played, because I've done it a few times, and it's you don't have time to do stuff like Machinima because you're so obsessed with just watching the game and seeing all the cool stuff that happened around you.
Right, right. What do you think of where Machinima's going?
Gosh.
I mean, like I say, when you started, it really wasn't that big, and now it's kind of becoming a big deal.
I tell you, it's kind of a weird thing. I guess we're maybe sort of I don't know if a crossroads is right, but we're at a point now where Machinima's, I guess, become kind of a big enough movement or art form that people realize that there's some commercial value to it.
Right.
But you're dealing in other people's intellectual property. So I think the game companies are starting to see that there is definitely some potential to advertise games through it.
Right.
You know? Not saying that we helped advertise Halo in any way. I don't think Halo needed any help at all. But then also it's like, hey, wait a minute. I got all these kids that are you know, making video games or making movies in my video game, which is cool. And then they're trying to make. Do you let them make money out of it? How does that work? It's kind of sketchy, but I think that the game companies are smart enough to realize that Machinima can be a really cool tool to help, you know, kind of virally market
Yeah.
their games. And I see a lot of companies embracing that. We've been lucky enough to work in a few games. Yeah, you know, we just did a series in Shadowrun, which is now out on the
Yep.
360, and had a lot of fun with that. I think that's available on Marketplace.
Yep.
And I think you'll see a lot of stuff like that in the future. I wouldn't be surprised if companies started doing it internally as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's no, like, I can't speak for Bungie because I can't. But I'm just saying there's no reason to have them do it internally because you guys do such a great job.
I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, you know, you guys are out there and you're focused on creating great and it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to your point, the writing is wonderful, the stories are amusing, the story arcs are funny. But I want to ask you, what's next? You said you finished it.
Yeah, that's a good question. We're trying to figure that out, too. We now do a lot of commercial work, kind of behind the scenes. We do a lot of television commercials for different video game companies. And so that keeps us pretty busy.
But, I mean, creatively for the fans.
Yeah. You can go and spend, you know, 120 straight hours making commercials for, you know, X video game, Madden or whatever. And then you go to the website and the fans are like, yeah, whatever. Where's the next episode of Red vs. Blue? You know, they don't care. And you want to, and it's kind of a fun thing to do, but we want to, I guess, creatively continue and express ourselves. So right now we're just trying to get out from under this DVD. Making a DVD is a tremendous amount of work for us. We take, you know, I guess like a 2-hour season, and then we try to make another hour and a half of content solely for the DVD because our videos are available for free online.
Right.
And we want to give, if somebody wants to say, hey, we want to pay you $20 to buy this DVD, we want to give them more than what they can get on the website.
Right.
So it's just like a ton of work in a real short time. So after we get past that, then we're going to take a look at what's next. We don't have any plans. I mean, the Red vs. Blue storyline, I think, is over. We realized when we started Season 5 that by the end of Season 5, Red vs. Blue would be like 12 hours long, which is longer than Lord of the Rings.
Right.
You know, it's approaching Star Wars long.
Right.
You know, and you get to a point where it's just too cumbersome. Like, if you were to find Red versus Blue, like at, say, episode 97, you could go, what's this? Oh, this is interesting. Maybe I'll check it out. I don't know if I want to watch 96 episodes to figure out what the hell is going on. So
it's too unmanageable.
Yeah, it is. And it also becomes really difficult in the writing process because even though we wrote it and we made it, it's hard to remember what happened in season 2.
The fans definitely do.
They will catch it. And we've had a couple of small plot holes this season where the fans have told us really quickly, hey, no, those two people have never said that to each other.
Yeah.
They've never met.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. So we've talked about doing a Red vs. Blue movie someday, maybe.
Right.
I don't know if we will. We definitely want to continue doing like one-off videos, PSAs, that kind of stuff. But I would like to just continue to make new stuff in new video games. Like we cut our teeth on that Shadowrun game and had a blast doing it, made four quick episodes. And we'd like to do that. Maybe do like 4 or 5 episode series for whatever new cool game comes out.
A lot of the Red versus Blue stuff is available on Marketplace.
Yes, it is.
And we have a lot of people who say, well, why should I buy that? Because, you know, I can go out and watch it for free all these various places. What do you say to that?
I say you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
You can. But if you do want to watch it on Marketplace, what we're going back and doing, because we realize we made these videos, some of these videos 4 or 5 years ago, they don't look so good now.
Right.
You know, the capture card we had back then doesn't hold up. So we're going back with Halo PC and refilming shot for shot the first 4 seasons of Red vs. Blue.
Red vs. Blue remastered.
Remastered. So they'll all be in HD now.
Right.
So right now we're going through season two. We're about halfway through season two, refilming in HD. So I guess if you want to see it in a much better quality than you could even get on our DVDs, you can do that. Or if it's just another way you could watch it, you could watch it. You could sponsor and watch it on our website. You could buy a DVD. You could watch it on Marketplace if that's your thing. It really is just another area for you to watch it if you feel comfortable watching it.
Yeah, it's also a way to support you guys.
And it's a way to support me. I get my daughter's very hungry. She needs diapers. So yeah. Everything helps.
Jeff, what are you looking forward to in terms of gaming this holiday season? Because this is huge. I mean, you got Halo 3. We know you're excited about that.
Yeah, Halo 3 aside, which is obviously the, you know, the 900.
It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mass Effect.
Are you?
Very excited about Mass Effect. BioShock, I think, looks fantastic.
So I played some of that.
Really? What'd you think?
Beyond awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what that's like.
I watched about 5 trailers online, different gameplay videos, and then I had to stop, and I was like, I just want to be surprised when I watch it. It just looks so tremendous, and so I'm trying to, like, forget about it until it comes out, because I don't want to ruin anything.
Right.
I don't want to spoil it. But I'm also really excited about Halo Wars, obviously.
Right.
I'm a big RTS fan.
Yep.
And I think what those guys are doing looks
GTA?
Really cool. GTA? Yeah, I...
Forgot about that one.
you're right. There's so much coming out. It's a bit overwhelming. I don't know how I'm going to... I may have to quit my job just to be able to play games for the next 6-8 months. I don't know.
Fortunately, I get paid to play games.
That's true. You do good.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Comic-Con before I let you go. Because, okay. I mean, we were sitting in a pretty luxurious area right now doing this interview.
Yes, we are. Right next to the bathrooms.
Right next to the bathrooms. And they're wheeling the garbage by.
Yeah.
What is this event like for you? Because it's really grown over the years. And this is my first time here.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And so what have you seen it grow over the years?
Well, this is our third time at Comic-Con. And it gets scarier and crazier every year.
Like, why?
It's just there are more and more people. Like, today you're here on a Friday. It's pretty busy and it's pretty nuts. Tomorrow's Saturday.
Uh-huh.
That's the day.
Yeah, I've heard.
There'll be 5 times the amount of people in here. You won't be able to breathe. You'll be, you know, you can't walk down an aisle. It'll take you 45 minutes to get to a bathroom.
Right.
Because it's like Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras. Just, you know, it's just wall-to-wall people.
I don't really want to see some of these women topless, though.
I wasn't sure if we could get into that here, but yeah. It's picking up where E3 left off. I'll
right,
say that. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's just crazy, and every year it gets bigger. And like last year, they had a huge Optimus Prime truck here.
I mean, here's a woman walking by. She's black, and I mean, she's got a black outfit on.
She's some sort of a superhero
Halloween thing. I don't know.
It's fantastic. I'll tell you that. But it's a great opportunity to come out and meet the people. I know the Bungie guys are out signing autographs. I think Joe Staten is signing some autographs.
Is Joe here? I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him either, but I heard he was going to be signing autographs.
Yeah.
They're set up at the WizKids booth.
Yeah, one of these other booths.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Unfortunately, I'm behind a booth all day, so I don't get a chance to walk around and see much. Every year, the Lego display gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah,
I saw
like
a 12-foot Batman this morning on
the
way.
Did you see that over there?
Yeah, which was nuts.
That's right down the line from the Jabba the Hutt. See the full-size Jabba the Hutt?
I haven't seen that yet.
Wow.
Oh, man, that sounds crazy. But it's kind of weird. Comic-Con started as this comic book convention, and now I think the name is almost misleading because it's really just this crazy multimedia.
It's pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture. That's a great way to put it. And apparently, it's only going to get bigger and grow more.
I don't know where they're going to put this thing.
I heard that they were moving it to Anaheim because they're packed to the gills here. I think they get like 130,000 people in here or something.
All of which are coming by to buy Red versus Blue DVDs.
Every single one of them, yeah. So, which is cool because it helps pay for the private jet.
Yeah, exactly. You need to have that.
Yeah.
You and the guys from Google are hanging out in a private jet, are you?
Right, right, yeah. With Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild, yeah. We party.
His has bars on the windows, so that's the difference there. Anyway, Jeff, I'm going to let you get back to your booth. Speaking of booths, I appreciate you coming by, and we're looking forward to seeing what you guys have up your sleeve.
Thanks.
Red versus Blue Season 5. When's the next installment going to be available on the marketplace?
Well, we had to take a little break from the Season 2 stuff.
No. We call it a hiatus in show business.
Sorry.
Hiatus in show business.
Absolutely. You're teaching me these terms, so I'll do better on the
You're
next
on time. Hiatus.
We had to take a hiatus from that to finish our Season 5 and finish our DVD. Then we're going to get right back into Season 2. We'll knock that out and then move on to Season 3 and Season 4 and then eventually have Season 5. And the goal is to have all 100 episodes on Marketplace.
Right on. Thanks, man.
No problem. Thank
Later.
You. Later. All right.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Check out Red versus Blue if you're, what is it, redvsblue.com?
Roosterteeth.com.
Or roosterteeth.com. And pick those up. It was great because, you know, one of the questions we always get, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is, you know, why should people buy their stuff from Marketplace when it's available for free?
Right.
And he kind of addressed that. So thank you, Jeff. All right, what else do we have here, E?
Oh, gee. Not
Halo,
really.
So since we're just talking about Halo, we should talk about the co-op. So this week it was announced that Halo 3 is going to have four-person co-op.
Yes, and I'm so glad they were finally able to announce that, get it out of the way.
Yep.
Because the level of questions and buzz was getting a little silly.
Right.
So it's nice. And the fact that it's four-player over live, that's phenomenal.
And I had posted on the blog that you and I need to go through a level or we should go through a level or two with some people. How are we going to do this? We have a month and a half to figure it out.
First, I want to point out that yes, you did post that on your blog.
Yes.
And no, you didn't ask me first. And yes, I did get I don't know how many hundreds of messages over live. I got an interesting variety to the people who, you know, sent me nicely.
We have the greatest audience. We really do. We have the greatest customers.
So I got some messages where it was like, wow, this guy, okay, maybe I should clear a spot and put this dude on my friends list.
Right.
And then I got some messages that were along the lines of, you know, can I has cheeseburger? And, okay, it's funny, but it's not going to make me want to play co-op with you.
Right, right, right. So. And we want to, you and I played a lot of Halo 2 to have fun. And so we're going to do the same thing with Halo 3. And it's going to be great to go through it with a couple of people. So we should probably have Lithion go through with us. We'll do different levels with different people.
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing is I've already got two separate groups of people that I've said I'll play co-op with.
Right.
So I'm going to wind up probably playing co-op like 5 or 6 times at least.
Right.
Just because of all the different people who are like, let's play co-op.
Right.
So.
And then you and I have to, you and I are going to play with some of the community members, the cool community members.
Yes.
So that'll be coming up. So put a link to that. My travel schedule, Tokyo. Looks like I'll be spending some time in Tokyo. I'm going over there for Tokyo Game Show and others. I don't know exactly the specific dates, but Cheapy D from Cheap Ass Gamer, he bought one of those toilet seats. Or, no, his apartment has one of those toilet seats this week, and he sent me a link to his YouTube video of it.
This is like the one that's been posted as like world's best toilet seat.
Well, the concept is fantastic, and there's different models. And I know you find that amusing.
I really do, but I suppose high tech has to come to everything at some point.
So GPD, and he also talked. We're gonna go to a sumo.
Sumo.
I keep mispronouncing that. Sorry, GP. A sumo match.
That what I'd actually like to see, I think, more than sumo match is like a pre or post match meal, because I've seen on TV what those guys eat. It's astounding. It's just the amount of calories those guys have to put away.
Well, they're big guys.
They're big guys. That large.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Cheapy's not small either.
I don't think I've ever met him.
No, he's tall. He's very tall. Cheapy. He's like 6'3 or 6'4. So he's going to tower. He's not overweight at all. He's very tall and thin, but is a different kind of large. So Cheapy, I'm looking forward to coming over to Tokyo. As soon as I have my travel schedule, I will let you know. Oh, boy. Did I tell you about the dashboard feature that I want to have in there? Did I tell you this? I made a request to have
sumo related.
No, totally unrelated. This is just random. So I'm going to actually pause it right now because we don't want to talk about it publicly. All right, so we're gonna
tease everyone. We're gonna
this,
did
this,
you hear about this?
This is
wait,
this,
can't tell you.
This is what I have requested. So what I want to do is so
we're actually this is not going on the air. What we're doing right now?
No, this isn't going on the air. What we're doing. So hold on a minute. So I'm going to go in here. All right, I'm going to press pause right now. Okay, pause. So that's my feature request.
Okay, we need that.
So
that's
right?
Just one of those like, duh. Oh, right. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
So we're gonna. I made that feature request to the guys earlier in the week, and they're gonna see if they can get it in for the next update. We're gonna talk about the HD DVD player in a second, but I've got a ton of emails. We've been doing a lot of server work. I don't know if I told you this. Lithion's been busy.
Oh, MajorNelson.com.
Yeah, MajorNelson.com. Which is funny. I have E who works on the service, and I have somebody else host my blog, which is totally bizarre. But that's all right.
Wait, I should shout out first to Lith. Thank you for the mobile page. Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
So if you don't know what the mobile page is about, using your mobile phone, you can just go to majornelson.com/M for mobile. And you will see a mobile version of the page, which will allow you to read posts and comments. And you can actually log in and make comments as well.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So thank you, Lith, for that. I've been asking for that for a while. He just finally got around to doing it. He's been busy.
Yeah.
But we're moving our... I don't know if it'll be done by the time we're able to post this, but we're moving our SQL database to another box. So database... Right now, database and web server on one, we're splitting them up.
That'll make a big difference.
But a lot of people have asked me, why are comments paginated? So we added this feature a month and a half ago, and you and I have been...
That's an easy one.
So, E, why don't you handle that from a performance perspective?
That's all it is. It's performance. Think about, you know, how many views do you get on a big post? It's, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands, right?
Sometimes it's a million, yeah.
Yeah. So picture, let's just say, 500,000 people wanting to read the same thing over the course
about,
of
like,
the day.
About, like, say the Halo 3 multi...
the
co-op.
Co-op, right. So you're going to throw... The server has to spew out a whole bunch of data for everyone who's going to read the page.
Right.
So if it's paginated and there's 10 pages of comments, it's putting out one-tenth the data that it's doing if it's not paginated.
Right.
Very simple. One-tenth the work means the server can process more requests. It's quicker for everyone to get into MajorNelson.com.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
So
if
that's...
you don't paginate, it just brings everything to its knees.
Because otherwise I'm serving up, you know, 500 comments that you may or may not be interested.
Right.
I know people like to scroll down, unfortunately. And so when we... That's why we haven't paginated in the mobile page. So there you go. So I'm really excited about that dashboard feature.
That would be really nice.
So, all right. So let's talk about the HD DVD player, because some cool stuff happened last week right before I left for Comic-Con. Actually, it was right when I left for Comic-Con. The price of the HD DVD player dropped to $179 in the U.S. only.
Prices dropping are good.
Prices dropping are good. And starting August 1st, you are going to be able to get five free movies of your choice to the... if when you buy your HD DVD player, this is basically
that's
the same
a nice package.
Yeah, it's the same offer they had for the
standalone
for the standalone player, but now we've got it for this player.
Right.
And do you know what the movies are?
There's a list, and it's like pick one.
Yeah,
pick
you
one, pick
so
one.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories, and you can pick one from each category. So category one: Apollo 13, Seabiscuit, Chronicles of Riddick, Casablanca, Constantine, Dukes of Hazzard,
Casablanca.
Four Brothers, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow.
Sky Captain.
Category D is The Rundown, Blazing Saddles, U2, Rattle and Hum. Don't you even think about this. You say Blazing Saddles. That's the greatest movie ever.
Sure.
Blazing Saddles. And then Category E, U571, The Perfect Storm, or We Were Soldiers.
You know, I think U571 was the better movie, but I've seen Perfect Storm on HD DVD, and it's gorgeous.
That's because you're a George Clooney.
So I. No. It's because somebody loaned me The Perfect Storm and I watched it.
So you couldn't. Basically, what you do is you buy your HD DVD player, and then you go up to Xbox.com, and I'll put a link to this. You download a PDF file, you fill it all out, and you send it in by 10/31/07, and you'll get your DVDs back.
That's a sweet deal.
HD DVDs, yeah. So there's some good stuff up there. I'm serious. Blazing Saddles, I bought that HD DVD. I love that movie. How could you not like Madeline Kahn?
I'm not saying I don't like Madeline Kahn, but God. I don't think it's quite as good as you're representing it to be. It's no Bomberman.
Well, it's a different type of entertainment.
But Madeline Kahn is pretty good.
Okay. So. God, she's funny. All right, so that's the HD DVD. Now, also coming up on HD DVD, but not... do you have anything to add about that?
About the price cut specifically, or
yeah.
HD DVD?
Yeah, you excited
no,
about
we
HD DVD?
The price cut.
All right, well, on the other side of this, we're going to tell you how you can win a couple copies of...
300
that I'm
out on HD DVD this
here
week.
In my hand is 300.
So I've seen parts of it in HD DVD. I haven't watched the whole movie yet. It looks just gorgeous. It's
you want to talk about it now before we go into Ridley Scott?
Sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know this, but while we've been sitting here this entire time recording, it's been playing in the background on my player,
and we've both gotten distracted
right.
a couple of times.
It's actually rolling the credits
so
right now.
We should actually record this in like a room with everything else turned off and the blinds closed and the doors
yeah
shut.
And the air off, and we'd suffocate and die.
That,
so
yeah.
What did you think of what did you think of the film?
Well, I loved the movie.
Right,
I
loved the movie. Check.
It was great in theaters. It looks gorgeous. In HD DVD. I love the picture-in-picture feature. Do you want to describe what they did?
So what they did, yeah, what they did is it's called the blue screen picture-in-picture version. So you basically, you hit your menu, you go to special features, and you check this off. What it is you're watching the whole film, and it puts a picture-in-picture in the lower left-hand corner, but what you're seeing in the lower left-hand corner is the pre-produced, it's basically what they shot on set in through the camera.
Right. No special effects.
No special effects, no, you know, no digital enhancements. You know, you see the blue screen of what they, in the back. There's a whole bunch of different things in here. So that's what's really, it's fascinating to watch. I don't know about you, E, but I'd love watching
no,
that.
No, I love it because the difference between that and the set, or the final picture. On the one hand, it's the challenge for how did they, you know, act it that well when they were literally standing there in front of a blue backdrop with, you know, just the two actors talking
right.
to each other. And also, the the differences just in like the, you know, the skin and the faces.
Yeah, they really darkened
they
it up.
So different and so much grittier in the movie compared to what they actually looked like. And it's just amazing to see what a job they did.
Yeah, so here I just put it back to one of the scenes as well. And you can see, you know, all the different, just all the different elements. Of course, we picked a scene where there's no blue screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, like when he gets thrown into the well or they're dealing with that, you can see that. But, yeah, everybody looks so normal on the lower left. And so the picture-in-picture's cool. There's actually some other really, really fun stuff here. If you hit your DVD menu and go over to special features, there is the web-enabled features, which are interesting. You can actually go into them. Let me pull that. I mean, there's a ton of different webisodes.
Now, random fact, all HD DVD players are network capable.
That's right. It's
part of the spec.
Right. So, and because your Xbox 360, assuming it's connected to Live, or you know, then it's
network capable is the key.
Right.
They have to have connectivity available.
So you can actually go in here and choose different wallpapers and download them to your phone, different ringtones and whatnot. So
right, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty fun. The other thing that is interesting is in scene selections, you can actually share out your bookmarks. And let me get into this because I want to show it to you because it's really in your. So you go into special features and you go to pick your favorite scenes.
Okay.
And what happens here is I don't know if it's gonna. It should work because I am connected. And what will happen here is you can actually log in. You choose what scenes you like.
Right.
And then I can log in and share them with other people, and you can see in the community. So I'm Major Nelson.
I'm gonna have to go try that.
And you can share them out and just basically you can see I can reassemble the movie,
and then let someone else view it the way I like.
Right.
Okay, that I'm gonna go check.
So if you're listening to the show, then go ahead, go to the comments and put in your username, and if you've shared out any scenes.
Okay. Now I feel kind of bad because I've been really looking forward to 300 on HD DVD. My copy arrived on Wednesday. I haven't had time to watch it yet. This has been kind of boring.
Was it in San Diego, wherever your stuff gets routed through?
I got two HD DVDs the same day. One came from Seattle. I don't remember where the other one came from. But because Bourne Ultimatum premieres this weekend,
right?
I picked up Bourne Identity and Bourne Supremacy on HD DVD and had a viewing party last night.
I wasn't there.
No.
I don't get invited to your parties. You suck.
I told you we were doing this.
No, you made me schlep all over Seattle looking for this. We had Best Buy and Circuit City and all the places, and we never came up with it.
Yeah, which was weird.
Which was
Amazon
weird, yeah.
It, so, no problem. So, had a viewing party without Major. So, a group of us, I don't know, six, seven of us, watched Identity and Supremacy last night.
Back to back?
Yes. And tonight, we're actually going to go see Ultimatum. So
that's good. That's fun.
It was nice to just kind of, you know, get back up to speed because I've read the books, but that was a long time ago. Not to mention there's a pretty big delta between the books and the movies.
Right.
So now we kind of all feel ready for tonight and Ultimatum, and I'll watch 300 this weekend.
Yeah, so 300. What's great about this disc, and a lot of the HD DVDs do this, is it's a combo disc.
Yes.
So you have the HD DVD version on one side and then the DVD version on the other side.
Which is really nice if you're like, you know, you're in the car and you have a portable DVD player.
Right.
Or you want to watch it in your laptop or who knows what.
Yeah. So you've got the high def and I don't want to say low def, but the standard def. The standard def versions
low
available.
Low def would be VHS.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got both of those. I know Blu-ray doesn't do that, do they?
They do not have a way to do that. Nope.
That's too bad. But yeah, so that's one of the great things about this is I really like it. Anyway, so we'll give that away. But before we've gone on and on about HD DVDs, we'll have 300 for you in just a minute. But right now, I want to roll an interview. I was able to catch up with Ridley Scott at Comic-Con, and he gave me a few minutes of his time, and here's what he had to say. All right, I'm here with Ridley Scott, infamous director, Blade Runner Final Cut coming out. Ridley, what's it like after 25 years to go back in and see this film and work on this project?
It's been ongoing. I mean, I've been doing other things. but it's been ongoing for about a year. And when it really came out of the need to do this, the possibility that this made a lot of sense on several points of view, not to mention probably economics as well, but actually from most of all from the fact that they said they wanted, they felt there's a real new fan base, because in 25 years you've got 2.5 generations of people, because I think a generation is about 10 years.
Yep.
And most of the, so two generations have never really seen the film properly. And I think even if it comes out as a very high-end digital presentation, the digital capabilities now in even the average receiver at home are superlative.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are actually going to see it as it really should be. And then there'll probably be a gentle, limited release of the film to see how it goes. And who knows? It'd be nice to see if there was a reaction. It'd be very nice to actually have it released properly.
Yeah, I'm excited about it because it's coming out on HD DVD, which
that'll be brilliant. That's great. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's going to be phenomenal. Now I have to tell you, you are one of my favorite directors. When I got off the plane in Tokyo for the first time 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I thought Ridley nailed it. I felt like I was in Blade Runner. What was that like, putting together the visual style of the film and seeing a lot of what you put together come to fruition?
It's kind of evolution of talking with a script that was a very good script between two characters, which was Hampton, Bancher, and who had by definition had to contain it because it was going to be done as a lower budget movie. And it was a contained piece which took place for the most part in kind of an apartment. But when you have this idea that there's such a thing as a replicant, or in that moment it was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, so an android in the apartment, then you are actually, and she walks outside, then the city outside, for me, it better support the thesis that there are replicants in this world. That's how it kind of blew up. And that's when I got a hold of Sid Mead, because I'd been looking at his books and his stuff, and that's when we brought Sid Mead in, and then put Sid with Larry Paul. And because I was a production designer and I was 7 years at art school.
Right.
And so, I can draw like a son of a bitch. So I love that process. So we just sit around there evolving the universe of the film.
I want to talk to you about that for a quick second. You're one of the first filmmakers to portray the future as, for lack of a better term, dirty. A lot of the previous films was all squeaky clean, everyone's flying around in cars, but yours was much more gritty.
Sure.
Well, that was really forward thinking.
Well, I think you keep your eyes open. Most people haven't got their eyes open, and I was doing a lot of traveling between London, New York, or London, Tokyo, or London, China, London, North Africa, because I was living in London doing a lot of television commercials. And, you know, travel is an incredible educator. And I could never get out of my mind when I was reading the material that it somehow ought to be a combination of Hong Kong with New York. Now, when I was in Hong Kong, several times I was shooting, there were no skyscrapers in that. There were 4,000 junks in the harbor, and the filth and the mess and the everything was incredibly colorful and was wonderful for me for a filmmaker. So I took a little bit of that, a little bit of the New York I knew at that particular moment in the 60s and 70s was always seemed to be in a stage of reconstruction. So it was always dirty, noisy, filthy, and hugely romantic. So I put those two together, and that was it. That's what it should be.
Really, I'm going to let you go. Blade Runner, The Final Cut, coming out on HD DVD this fall. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Ridley Scott for giving me a few minutes of his time. He's really... The guy's a genius.
Yeah, he is.
And I meant that in the interview. I was talking about how he was one of the first guys to really portray the future as dirty.
Yes.
If you think about, Blade Runner.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, the Blade Runner and Aliens. Remember that? Because up until Aliens, like, all the ships in space were always clean and Star Trek Enterprise-y kind of.
Yes.
This thing was dirty and gross, and there were rats on it. And
probably a lot more realistic.
Right, right. So it was just great to meet him.
I've done a total turnaround in the last week. Like, I think it was a week ago, or maybe it was Monday, when you were telling me that you'd met Ridley Scott,
right.
And we were talking about, Blade Runner on HD DVD, and
right.
I'm like, I already own, like, three copies of the movie on DVD. I'm not buying it again.
Right.
Yeah, I've changed my mind already. I'm buying it again.
You went out and you saw this kind of briefcase and something else, right?
I don't know if I'm going to buy the special edition, but I'm definitely going to own the movie in HD.
I'm going to get some copies of those to give away.
Plus
one free. Yeah. Let's do Name the Game right now. And Name the Game is, it's the show that, it's the original sound clip contest.
Okay.
Is the original. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the clip from the show, the last Name the Game from the show a couple weeks ago. Here it is. All right, so that was Name the Game from last show. That was?
Bomberman.
Because the last show was all about Bomberman. So let's go ahead and pull a winner. The winner is...
My Easy Button is his gamer tag. He says, "Hey there, Major. Name the game this week is Bomberman Live. I concur with you. Fantastic Bomberman version." He says he wants to play with you, as well as his wife is a big fan of it as well. So,
oh, good for
thank
them.
Thank you. Congratulations, My Easy Button. You grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset. I will send that out to you. Also, you know what I'm going to do now?
No.
We are going to play Name the Game for this week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to tell you, and on the other side of it, I'm going to tell you what you're going to win. So here's the Name the Game sound for this week. Think you know what that is? Send me an email, major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com. What I'm going to send you this time is we're going to take two winners.
Two winners.
Two awesome. Winners for a copy of 300 on HD DVD and
oh wow.
DVD combo. What are you looking at?
Okay, the part of 300 where the guys are getting kicked and thrown down the endless hole.
Down the well.
The blue screen version of that, seeing what is actually happening.
Right.
Wow.
So
that's really cool.
You'll have to watch that. That is on the HD DVD version. So so if you think you know what that is for Name the Game, send me an email, major@xbox.com. I'm not going to pull one. I'm going to pull two winners to win copies of the of 300 on DVD on HD DVD.
I think I know what that one is.
Yeah, I think you do too. Uh-huh. That was an easy one. But so send me an email, major@xbox.com. Good luck. And then we'll go into when he's in the house, which has been much more frequently than not lately. He does Xbox 101. So Funky, why don't you do an intro for E?
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
Yeah. Okay, Xbox 101 for this week. We're going to talk a little bit about just online registration of your console and service requests. So for a long time, you've been able to go to Xbox.com and register your console. Basically, yep. You know, record, hey, this is who I am. Here's my serial number, all that kind of stuff, which was handy if you ever had to call support because they'd actually be able to pull all that stuff up and already have it. They've gone a step farther now, and you can now actually file a service request online. So if you go pull your browser up, go yep. to service.xbox.com, and you can register a device. Associate a device you registered on the phone with your Windows Live ID.
Yep.
Or manage a device registered to you. And on the manage a device page, you can create a repair, check your repair status, cancel a repair, or view warranty status.
So you can see I've got my device registered right here.
Yep. So instead of if you have an issue, you don't need to call 1-800-4-MY-XBOX and wait on hold. You go to the webpage, self-serve, set up the repair, the box will show up, boom, all done online without getting on the phone.
There you go. So that's good stuff.
That's very handy.
I know they've been working on that for a few months, but you just need to go to, what's the address again?
service.xbox.com.
And you'll sign in with your gamer tag, your live ID.
Yes. And I know for a lot of people, that's way preferable to, you know, getting on the phone, having to wait a little bit.
Yeah, who does that anymore?
It's great.
It's so much easier to use the web.
Yes.
Speaking of using the web, you want to talk? So thank you for that. It's great, Xbox 101. Do you want to talk about gadgets?
We should talk about gadgets. I have to buy myself my birthday.
We got to talk about gadgets and games. Games we're playing. Which one do you want to do first?
Games first.
All right. What are you playing?
Been playing a fair amount of Bomberman still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working my way through Halo 2 PC.
Mm-hmm. Still.
Yeah. Which is actually we'll. That's getting into gadgets. I'm starting to get that gaming PC itch again.
Right.
I'm going to finish The Darkness here quickly.
I don't know where my copy is. I think I loaned it. Did I loan you my copy? No.
Actually, I might have your copy because mine wandered off, and I got mine back, and I may still have yours.
Okay. I need to play that.
So, anyways, I need to finish The Darkness because I was looking at the schedule of games coming out shortly,
mm-hmm.
and if I don't finish it in the next, like, 2 weeks, I probably never will.
Right.
It'll go in the library of great games that I just never seem to have time for.
Right.
Because coming up pretty soon, okay, there's BioShock. I know I'm going to play that.
We've talked a lot about that.
Yes. There's Blue Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I know myself well enough to know that I'm not going to finish Blue Dragon. I rarely ever finish RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen enough of Blue Dragon to know I want to put a lot of time into it. It's very cool. And then come September 25th, yeah, I'm going to be playing Halo 3 a lot.
Right.
So I got to get The Darkness finished. I think this weekend I might try and power through both Halo 2 PC and The Darkness.
You're going to be busy. It's too nice out.
It It was too nice out. Have you looked outside right now?
The sun's out.
No, it's not.
It is.
Where?
Right there. It's kind of hazy. I can see blue sky.
Okay, kind of hazy is not the same thing as the sun's out.
All right, anyway.
So it's all of a sudden it went from gorgeous and hot to kind of cloudy and icky. But yeah, I think those are games that I just got to spend a little more time on. I like the darkness.
Yeah.
It's just, we've almost got too many good games right now.
Yeah, and you need to really finish Overlord. I got 390 gamers. I'm 300 score ahead of you in that game.
Okay, in that game. Overall, right. How far ahead of you am I?
I'm at 10,701, and you are at 13,918.
Okay, I don't feel so bad about not finishing Overlord.
I'm just looking at that.
But that's a perfect example of a great game
right.
that I need to get back to that I don't know if I ever will. What are you playing?
Marathon. I threw in. I want to talk about NCAA and NASCAR.
Oh yes, so I'm going to pull up my NCAA.
I played NCAA. I made a post about this earlier in the week about the cool feature that EA now has, where you can
yes.
you can basically it records all the in a specific game. It records all the plays, and you can go back in and basically even if you didn't save the play, you can go back in and replay the play and then save it after. Basically, it saves all the plays until you exit the game in that particular game.
Right.
And you can take videos and photos and upload them to the EA website. And so I took a video of me. It was the Orangemen in. Were we in the Carrier Dome? I think we were in the Carrier Dome playing.
You were. I remember that.
Playing
much.
Nevada. and it was I grabbed the ball, intercepted the ball in their end or in my end zone, and then returned it all the way down.
Right.
For 100 yards. So I put that up there. So there's some cool features in NCAA like that. The only thing that's a little challenging, and I talked about this in the post, was...
Is Syracuse isn't very good?
Well, besides that, the EA website is all Flash.
Oh, right.
So navigating through it is a little challenging, guys. So, but anyway, it's great that you can at least download. And then I'm trying to find out how I can convert those to those little movies. But fun stuff there. And NASCAR, this is funny. So I'm playing NASCAR this week in my office.
That's a rough job you have.
It is a rough job. I'm playing NASCAR in the office, and I got one of the achievements. I think it was... Anyway, so I had it sitting in the back, and I'm turning around doing email, because everyone knows I have the monitor that's like behind me. And as... You know, I'm listening to the game music in the background. It's kind of playing.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I hear just these voices talking about the current baseball scores and the football scores and the draft and training camp. And I'm like... What's going on here?
Yeah, I think it's basically ESPN radio.
So, yeah, it's exactly what it is. So I turn around and I'm like, and I start popping through the menus, and there's ESPN radio and video that you can get in the game.
That's really cool.
So it's streamed over, not your servers.
The internet.
the internet. But it was kind of cool because I was minding my own business. And just get back to NCAA, my wife actually really enjoyed this. She was watching me play a game. It was my Orange Men against... the Mean Green or the Green Machine of Texas.
What?
It was some Texas.
Texas is the Longhorns.
No, this is like Texas Community College or something. I was picking all these low end ones.
I'm trying to think. That's not A&M. That's
no.
Not North Texas.
No, it's not. I don't remember what it was. I should go up and take a look. But and then we were playing at the Husky Stadium here in Seattle.
Right.
And my wife was like,
which is a dump.
My wife was like, I recognize that. And I was explaining it to her. She's kind of sitting in the other room. And then she comes in. She's like, hey, the sun's going down. I said, yeah, because it has real-time weather, because the sun was going down
right.
here. So that blew her mind.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty cool.
So NCAA and NASCAR have some really cool, interesting features that that I think you might enjoy.
So I had a lot of fun playing NCAA. I've played it once so far.
Ducks against who?
But San Jose State, I think it was. and oh, stop. We actually play them on a fairly regular basis.
Right.
There are one patsy a year.
That's E. His gamer tag is E if you're at San Jose State and you want to send him a message.
Well, it's... Yeah. Anyways. By the way, I have to complain. Autzen Stadium this year, only the 13th hardest place to play. That's A, not cool, and B, wrong. It's a much tougher stadium to play in than that.
Okay.
I'd like to remind everyone that a couple of years ago, head coach of Michigan said it's the loudest place he's ever played a football game. Anyways, moving on. I was playing NCAA.
Right.
And I was getting a nice set of achievements along the way for, you know, score 35 points, 200 total rushing yards, that kind of stuff. And the game ends, and I saw a pop-up that I've never seen before.
Which was what?
And so I think it was in the spring update where we added, you know, you can get a single achievement pop-up that will tell you how many achievements you just got and the total
right.
gamer score.
Right.
And it popped up, 8 achievements, 135 gamer score for ending the game.
Wow.
For all the various, you know, red zone perfections, no interceptions, no sacks, that kind of thing. 18 achievements and 270 gamer score.
So I ended
my
up
first game of the NCAA.
I'm at like 245. You're about 30 ahead of me in that one.
Yeah. Well, if you keep playing, you know, by the time you get a couple dozen games under your belt, you might catch up.
Maybe. But that's kind of what I'm playing. And that, you know, I got to tell you, I don't normally play football. For some reason, I like this game. I don't know why.
I mean, I play it just because, hey, I can go in and be my team and
likewise.
Have fun and
likewise.
You know, I don't know. There's so many good games coming out. Again, I don't know that I'll ever get back to it to play a full season.
But a lot of people are really enjoying it. So
it's a fun game, no doubt about it.
What else are you playing?
I need to go play Marathon. I haven't gotten to Marathon.
I played that.
The last couple of days have just been crazy. I definitely want to go through that, though.
I'm trying to log into the EA website so I can find out what that other...
I was wondering what you were doing.
What that other team was that I was playing. I can't figure it out right now.
Right. That's probably it on the what I'm playing front right now. I'm spending a lot of time actually right now working, trying to make sure that everything behind the scenes is ready for
Florida Atlantic. That's what I was playing.
Florida Atlantic?
At Syracuse.
You're making fun of San Jose State.
Yes, that's what I was playing.
Wow. You should be ashamed of yourself. No, actually, the work has really spun up. It's getting to be that time of year.
Right.
Where we're almost to, you know, what people tend to call holiday, which kind of starts in, you know, late August, early September.
Yep.
And then there's this big rush of, you know, not just games, but, you know, I'm sure the Zune team will have things. And, I mean, every team that we work with is doing stuff, you know, whether it's XNA or whoever. And things are pretty busy today.
They are pretty busy.
So,
Let's see what else. Oh, you want to talk about gadgets?
We should talk about gadgets.
Because I got a new gadget this week.
What'd you? Oh, yes.
I got, and I put this, I posted about, I don't think I posted about it, I was Twittering it. I got my TiVo HD.
That just sounds wrong when you say that.
Yeah, I know it does. It sounds nasty. So when I was away last week, or when I was traveling, I was watching TiVo announced a new device. So I wanted to get rid of my DVR, because I didn't like it.
And this has been rumored for a while, and we've been talking about it.
Right. So... they went on sale last week when I was away down at Comic-Con. I came back and I had it all set up for there's the blue store and the red store.
Right.
Okay. So I was monitoring those two stores and nobody had it in stock. So I took their stock number off one of their websites, called them up and said, do you have any of these in? It was like Monday or Tuesday when I got back. I think it was Tuesday. And they said, well, yeah, we have five in. Great. So I get in my car that afternoon after I left work. I told you. I said, I found them. I'm going to go. So I drive up there. I get there and I said, hi, I'd like to buy the TiVo HD. And she points me towards the $800 unit. I'm like, no. I want the $299 unit. She says, oh, we don't have those in yet. I said, oh, really? Why don't you look up this stock number? So I give her the stock number. And she says, oh, we have four. She says, I'll be right back. So she goes away, comes back, says, well, I don't think I can sell those to you yet. I said, well, when I called this morning, you had five. Now you're telling me you have four. Obviously, somebody left here buying one. I'd like to buy one. She says, well, we can't sell them to you yet. I said, well, other store down the street is selling them, even though they didn't have them in stock. So we had to go to their website. Long story short, she goes away for like 10 minutes, comes back and hands me the box and says, here, have fun. I said, thank you, I will. She says, I'm not supposed to sell this to you, but I will. I said, it's for sale.
Oh, wow.
I'm giving you my money, and you're giving me a product. That's the way this works.
Right.
It was unbelievable. I had to, like, almost coerce them into letting me buy this thing.
And it's not like it was a street-dated product, and you're trying to get it early.
No. It wasn't like a game or something or a console. So I got my TiVo HD home, got it hooked into Comcast with my cable cards.
Oh, nice.
And it was a little challenging, not because of anybody. It was just because it's new.
Right.
Cable cards are new. And Comcast actually did a great job hooking this thing up. I got some great people at Comcast.
That's cool.
When I called them, they knew exactly what to do. They boom, boom, boom. Do this, do this, do this. And then it was all done.
Ta-da.
And it was great. It's great. Now the great thing about TiVo, so let's be clear, I had a TiVo Series 1 earlier.
Okay.
When I moved out here to the West Coast.
Yeah, for the Series 1, it was definitely earlier.
Right, yeah. Series 1. And then when I got high-def TV, it couldn't do high-def, so I said, screw it, I'll just use the DVR from Comcast.
Right.
And then I turned that back in, now I'm back to TiVo. And I love TiVo, because you gave me this. Give people, if you're going to buy a TiVo HD, here's E's tip.
Well, now this works on the DirecTiVo HD that I have.
Right.
I'm not sure if the same code applies to yours. But the 30-second skip.
It does.
It does work.
Yeah, I tried it out.
Exact same code. Yep. Okay. Now, they don't have the 30-second skip enabled by default, but it's great for skipping commercials.
Right.
Because it starts the commercial break. Depending on the network, you hit 30-second skip 6 or 7 times.
Right.
Boom,
you're back watching the show again. Because most broadcast standards are usually a 30-second spot or a 60-second spot.
Right.
So you just go click, 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 and boom, you're done.
Yep.
And tell the code.
So
this is TiVo 101.
Yes. So... you want to do this while you're watching something recorded.
Right. It
doesn't matter what, just anything. Start something up, hit select, play, select, 30, select, and the TiVo will go bing, bing, bing to let you know that the code actually worked, and you now have 30-second skip. It's awesome.
There you go. And then, well, the other tip that you gave me.
Well, I don't know if this is where you're going, but the catch is if it loses power.
Right.
The code doesn't work anymore. So if there's a power outage, somebody unplugs it, whatever, you'll have to redo that when you turn it back on.
The tip that you gave me was I got home, got it hooked up, you know, got everything working, got my channels working. Spend 10 minutes with it.
Oh, yeah.
And just go up and down the guide, give thumbs up and thumbs down to things you like and you don't like. And then I came back the next day, the drive was just packed with stuff I would watch. That I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the number one thing I do when I get a TiVo, well, probably number two. First, 30-second skip. Second thing is triple thumbs down paid programming.
Right.
I never want to record an infomercial.
Like Ginsu knives?
Yes. I'm sorry, I just don't want them. I don't want it switching to them in the middle of the night. Because one of the cool features of TiVo is it'll do suggestions.
Right.
So if you haven't, you know, touched the remote in a while, done any kind of input, eventually it'll say, hey... You know, I thought you might like this show. Do you want me to switch to it or not? And if you don't say yes or no, it'll switch you to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've, you know, fallen asleep in front of the TV watching whatever.
That happens all the time with you.
Well, yeah. And then you wake up and there's, you know, a commercial on for a Flowbee. So Flowbee. you teach your TiVo what you like and what you don't like, and that won't happen.
Right.
So.
So anyway, so I got my TiVo HD, and I'm so far I'm loving it. It just works. It's so simple. I love the fact that I can go to TiVo.com, search for programs, and tell it record this, and it sends a note to my TiVo.
That's very cool.
So anyway, so yeah. TiVo HD was my big purchase this week. What about you?
I've got a couple. So I'm finally about to bite the bullet on the new TV.
You've been talking about this for months.
I know, but I think I might do it this weekend.
Right.
The only question is this weekend, do I replace the big TV or do I replace the kind of broken one in my bedroom?
I say replace the big one.
I haven't made up my mind yet. But I'm about ready to, I'm going to regret doing this, but I think this weekend I'm going to go into Magnolia,
mm-hmm.
Which is
dangerous,
really bad.
Very dangerous.
So for people not from the Northwest, Magnolia Hi-Fi was an old chain here, started in Seattle.
So people in the Northeast, it was kind of like Tweeter.
Yeah.
So, but which is now going under.
High-end audio and video.
Right.
They got bought out a while by Best Buy. Now a lot of Best Buys have Magnolia themed areas inside them that aren't quite the same as the stores we had here. But they're famous with people who, you know, like, you know, high-def TVs and cool stereo and that kind of stuff, as you don't walk in there unless you're ready to buy. Because you're going to walk in, you're going to go, oh, wow, this stuff is so cool, and walk out with a car full of stuff and an empty wallet.
Right.
I think I might go in.
And an empty bank account, probably.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do that, and I think I'm going to do the gaming PC thing.
Oh, yeah.
I playing Halo 2 PC is just, I mean, it like I've talked about before, it's not the greatest experience on my work laptop. Be really nice to have a gaming PC, especially hooked up to the new television,
mm-hmm.
and driving games at, you know, 1920 by 1080.
Yum.
And
that's the way I played it.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
So I've been, you know, I've spent some time online looking through it, you know, okay, which motherboard do I want, which CPU, which video card, playing with different configurations. Do I want to build it again myself? Do I want to just buy one all built out so I don't have to mess with it? I'm about ready to pull the trigger on that, too. So I think, you know, happy birthday to me is in order. What are you getting me?
What am I getting? Oh, you know what I have for you?
What?
I have it in my car. I have two tickets to PAX.
Okay.
Okay, is that deal?
That works.
All right. Yep. All right, I have those in my car for you. And no, I can't give you any tickets. Don't email me. Go buy your own tickets.
Yeah, I lined this up months ago.
Yeah, this
sorry.
Is... So, I guess we're going to wrap it up right now. We talked about... oh, you know what? I have a couple things. I got a couple of new... I got the Habu mouse. And,
oh, yeah.
The gaming mouse and the guys from the Reclusa, which is the wired keyboard from Razer that's backlit.
I thought that was a poisonous spider.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. But I've got that going, and that's kind of cool. So it's all this cool blue that matches all my stuff going on here.
I really thought I was out of PC gaming.
Yeah, you got pulled back in hard.
I mean, yeah, because my last gaming PC that... I mean, the last thing I was playing on PC was... Wow. Galactic Civilizations.
Right.
And before that, it was like Age of Empires 2 or something.
Well, you need... You know, with all these live titles coming out, you need to get back into that.
Exactly. It's... If it connects to the service that we run, I mean, I need to experience it, so
right.
I know what's going on.
Right.
And I need to be able to test things, and I need to be able to experience them and make recommendations. And
yep.
So I guess I'm going to have to buy a gaming PC. Ugh.
All right. We're going to wrap it up now. Actually, one more thing. It's been quiet. You know why it's been quiet this week?
Trixie's in Singapore.
Trixie's in Singapore. So she's at she's the World Cyber Games 2007 in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's going to come back. You know,
I
don't know.
How good is the shoe shopping?
Well, no, because, you know, she was talking before.
She's going to kill me for that.
She was talking about before she went how, I guess if, and I don't know if this is true, that if you're in Singapore and you like chew gum, they'll, like, you know, throw you in jail and cane you.
You for chewing gum?
Or throwing it on the ground or something.
Now, the littering part, I believe.
So I actually wanted to send her hotel a case of gum to deliver to her room.
Oh,
just
wow.
To taunt her.
That's cold.
She'll be back next week.
Completely random. But, well, I suppose we could talk about this in the after show.
What do you want to talk about?
So, Wednesday, went back to the bar I talked about last week for another guitar.
Oh, Jesus.
Contest.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which was a lot of fun. There was
right.
a bunch more people there. We had a good time. What did I play? Carry On, Wayward Son.
Little Kansas.
Yes. And it actually playing in front of a crowd is... I was surprised at how nervous I was. You don't want to look like a total idiot in front of all those people.
Right, you don't want to do a Peter Moore.
Oh, wow.
No, I love that's Peter, cold. But that's it's the new internet meme.
Personally, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah, you're right. But we're waiting for things to start, and it's actually a sports bar most of the time, so we're watching the Mariners game. And we're just sitting there waiting for the game to end so we can start the contest, and a guy walks in, screams out, "I've been stabbed."
What?
And, it turns around, and his shirt's ripped, and he's bleeding, and...
What?
He didn't look like he was about to die or anything.
What kind of places in Seattle are you hanging out at?
Nice neighborhood.
Very.
No idea what happened, but, you know, the EMS
they stab
came
you
and took
say,
care of him.
Say, I'm sorry, and then run away?
It didn't happen, like, in the bar.
Right,
he, like, walked in to get someone to call the police and all that. But it was rather random. You're sitting there thinking, you know, okay, Guitar Hero, what song am I going to play? What difficulty level?
Wait a minute, the dude's
bleeding.
Do
I want another beer? Stabbed. It was interesting.
All right. On that note, thanks for ending up on a high note there. thanks to my friends at CentureCobb.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secured-assured hosting environment, now running on two servers.
Woot.
Silver. SQL and web server.
Mm-hmm.
You don't name your web servers, do you? We don't name them here. Remember in the old days in the original web, like people would name their web servers?
They would always be named after characters from Lord of the Rings or Star Trek.
And right.
No, we do not do that.
We do not name... There you go. There's a little... We don't name our... In fact, I remember you saw somebody that named them once and you made us...
Yeah, we have a policy against that. Our server names have to actually make sense.
Right. But anyway, my servers, you know, Major Nelson Web and Major Nelson Data.
Ooh.
Deep. Okay. Thank you to CentureCom.net for providing that secure and assured hosting environment. Also, to thank you to CashFly for caching this podcast and many more just like it. This is Larry Herbert, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thanks for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, and file a complaint, because that's also important, too. And I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Later.
Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.
All right, quick after
the
show.
The screen is just freaking fascinating.
Quick after show.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so the reason I almost, you know, didn't say goodbye on the way out there was I'm watching 300, the blue screen.
You got totally
version.
Distracted. We're still running it.
The blue screen thing is just fascinating to see the actual set that they're recording on.
Yeah, through the camera stuff.
I mean, there's this one bit a little earlier where there was, you know, a company of Spartans marching away into the distance, and they were, like, marching and about to hit the wall.
Yeah, they just keep going,
it was
awesome.
Cut
away. So let me tell you this funny story. I don't think I told you the story.
It's better than my stabbing story?
I'm at Comic-Con, and my wife is on business in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And she calls me, and she says, hey, I've got some time. I'm going to come down and see you. I said, well, look, I'm really busy. I'd love to see you, but I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So remember, I bought her the Garmin 360.
The GPS.
The GPS, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, if the lady or partner in your life gets lost a lot... Even women. If the partner in your life gets lost a lot, get them a GPS. It's well worth it.
Yeah. I have one. Not the same model, but a Garmin. Right. I got to say, I love it.
So she calls me and says, "This thing's routing me through this strange area." I said, where are you? She says, well, I'm in L.A. I'm in this area called Crenshaw. that's guys, that's not the call you want to get from your wife. So, all right, roll up the windows, honey. Get on the highway. So she calls me again. She's now in a particularly bad section of San Diego. I'm like, what is going on here? So she finally gets to the hotel, like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I said, can I see the GPS?
Now, wait. How long did it take for her to get from L.A. to San Diego? Normally, that's like a four-hour drive, something, three, four.
I don't even
like
know. It took her like twice as long.
Yeah.
So already she's pissed at me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all my fault.
You and bought her the GPS.
This actually is my fault because I used it when we were in LA for E3 a few weeks ago. And the problem was it kept wanting to route us on the highway. So I went into one of the options and said, don't route me on the highway. So she never knew that existed.
And you forgot to turn it
off. And I forgot to turn it back on to drive through the highway. So all of a sudden...
L.A. to San Diego on Surface Street.
She was smart enough to say, screw this and get on the highway. Because she knew that she was pretty much in trouble, but she'll hold that over me for a while. Anyway, you're really fascinated by this 300 thing.
Awesome. I'm having a great time watching this.
I want to get one of those 300. Did you see the 300 console sign that they're giving away at Engadget?
Those are gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a nice job. I tried to get one of those, but they gave it to Engadget instead.
Only 10 of them, I think?
Yeah,
total?
They gave away a bunch. They gave away a few at the screening at the Petco Park, and then they gave away this one for Engadget.
Yeah, they were they're beautiful. Yeah, wow.
It's a pimped out Elite, I'll tell you. What is that?
That's my cell phone. It's telling me that Peter Moore's going away party is about to start.
Oh, okay. So why don't we, do you have anything else you want to add here?
I ruined my good after show story. I should have kept that for the after show. Now I feel bad. I really don't. I can't think of anything. I'm going to think of something as soon as we stop recording. But
you know who I need to get on again? Because you and I have been talking a lot about HD DVDs and whatnot. I need to get Amir back on.
Amir is awesome.
So for those of you that don't know, Amir is a VP here at Microsoft. And he works, what is he? Is he works in the digital media division?
Well, I don't know if it's called that anymore. It used to be DMD, Digital
right.
Media Division. They do Windows Media, HD DVD, all that kind of stuff.
All the cool audiovisual stuff.
And one of my favorite thing about Amir is he posts on AVS Forum.
Yeah, he's over there posting.
That's awesome.
And he'll correct people and he'll give some facts. He gets involved in the conversation. I had him on probably about 6 or 8 months ago. Probably even longer, maybe a year ago.
It's time to have him back.
And he was phenomenal. He was he's so smart, and he really knows his stuff.
Yep.
And I want to get him back on again to talk about what's going on in HD DVD. Because I posted that, you know, there was a rogue story about how Target was dropping HD DVD for Blu-ray.
Right.
So I sent an email over to those guys. I'm like, what's going on? And they said, well, no, they didn't. And I was able to post and notify the guys at Engadget that Sony bought an end cap, which is standard in retail.
Right. Yeah.
And so that Target never said anything. So here's the clue. Whenever you see some of these claims by anybody, if there's no quote from the retailer,
right,
look at it kind of, give it some extra scrutiny.
Yeah. Well, just like, I mean, on the other side of the story, to be fair and balanced, a couple of months ago, when someone was reporting that Walmart was going to carry, you know, $199 HD DVD players at Christmas,
right?
Walmart didn't say anything. It came from, it was like a badly translated post off a Chinese OEM's website or something
right,
like that.
Right, I remember that.
And it became this huge story, and then it all was nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, and everyone's like, where'd you get that from?
So I need to get Amir on just to talk about what's going on in the digital space.
Yeah.
Because he's just so fascinating to talk to.
And it'd be great to get an idea of, well, I don't know if he can tell us, but just what's coming up. I mean, because we have great visibility into games that are coming up.
Yeah.
But I don't have nearly that visibility into movies, because when it comes to movies, you know, I find out from the web like everybody else.
Well, Heroes is coming out.
On HD DVD? That's right.
Yeah. So I need to get Jesse, who is one of the executive producers there, who's listens to the show. Jesse, hello. He and I are I'm gonna get him on the show to talk about the show next season and HD DVD.
Cool.
So if you guys, hopefully you'll enjoy that.
How could you not? TV collections on HD DVD. We saw The Sopranos in stores the mm-hmm. other day when we were there.
Yes, we did.
There's some shows that just are screaming to come out on HD DVD.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of HD, I love the fact that my TiVo, I found out how to do that. How to just filter by HD.
Oh,
so
nice.
Just show me high def content.
Yeah.
I was watching the silliest show last night on the Discovery Channel. Maybe it was Discovery Channel. It was about this airfield in South Africa that was overrun by wildlife and how they were trying to keep the wildlife out. And I was just watching because it's so pretty.
They're actually, so it's, by the time people hear this, it'll be almost too late, but it's been Shark Week on Discovery Channel,
Shark Week starts this week.
No, Shark Week started last Monday. I've been watching, trust me.
Are you sure?
Yes. Didn't I just say I've been watching it?
Yeah, but
Shark Week started last Monday.
Okay, go
ahead. So remember the themes and gamer picks came
out?
Yeah,
I know.
You just haven't been paying attention.
Look at me, I'm going to sharkweek.com, and that's not it.
Discovery.com.
Yeah, I know.
So all week has been Shark Week. Saturday and Sunday, Discovery HD is finally picking up the shark theme. They haven't been involved up till now.
Oh, really?
And so Saturday and Sunday starting...
That's right, this past couple days.
Like midday Saturday.
Right.
It's been pretty much sharks in HD 24 hours a day on the high def channel. Oh,
sharks are cool.
Wow.
Sharks Week, 20th anniversary. Yeah, my favorite shark piece is in the Planet Earth pieces.
Right.
There is, it's not Shark Week related, but shark related, I should say. They've got the video, or they've got the film of the great whites off the coast of, I believe it's South Africa. I think it's the otters.
The seals.
The seals.
I saw that in similar footage in SD night before last, I think. And on the one hand, it's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
You really feel for the seals.
Right.
But just looking at the great whites, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's just the way when they strike that they can get... I mean, these things weigh hundreds, thousands of pounds, and the way they come flying out of the water and get their whole body out of the water.
They're able to do that because the water's so deep there. They start at the bottom and just come firing straight up.
It's a reverse bungee jump.
It's a reverse bungee jump, and they just come up and they just boom. You know, when I go diving, because I'm a diver, I've seen sharks.
Right.
Now, the first time I ever saw a shark...
I don't think I've ever seen any over like 3 feet when I've diven.
Oh, no, this was like I think it was like a 12-foot... But I'll never forget this. I was in Hawaii, and I was diving open air or open water, and I'm down about 40 feet, and I think I talked to you about this. The sign when you're a diver is you do this, and then you point. And what I'm doing is I'm taking my hand and putting it on top of my head vertically.
You're making a shark fin.
And right. Then so the dive master goes like this and then points over there, and I'm like, wow, it's a shark. And I'm kind of watching him. And I'm not really getting close to him, but I'm kind of drifting a little bit. And then I realize, oh crap, there is no glass between me and it. I'm not in an aquarium.
I'm in the water.
I'm in his element.
Yes.
And I just kind of panicked there for a moment.
There was one bit where these two shark researchers, and I think they were South African. I could have been wrong. They were demonstrating the whole, you know, throw out, you know, some bait or something, get the shark to come to the up to the boat.
Right.
And they were showing the bit about how if you put your hand on the shark's nose, it makes it like open its jaw and stop.
Right.
And they're just demonstrating this over and over again. I'm like, I'm thinking, why are they doing this? They're eventually going to miss, and
right.
The shark's going to grab their hand.
Shark Week. If you don't have Shark Week, or you don't have Discovery Channel outside the United States, I'm sorry.
Discovery Channel's awesome.
I know somebody, I know the guy who... has started that. What's his name? Hendrix. John Hendrix. I know
Discovery Channel or Shark Week?
Discovery Channel. I know his wife.
Okay, you need to have him on.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me, I'd love to.
Oh, wow.
This guy's like a multi-bazillionaire.
Oh, I'm sure. He may not have
time. I never told you that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up now because we have some stuff to do. So maybe we'll do a show next week. You want to do a show next week,
Yeah, actually next week we... I think we're going to have some good stuff to talk about.
Madden's coming out.
Madden's not. It's week after.
So it is like the week after?
Week from Tuesday, I think.
Oh, that's right.
The 14th.
So we've got a little bit of time. All right. I will talk to you later.